With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Episode 198 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where Single Dive Roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on January 6th, 2016. My name is Dan Gorman. Nothing ever gets solved with violence. Haven't you ever seen a Charles Bronson movie? That man could use violence to solve pie.
My name is Casey Lyons, and... Oh, I've thought about screenwriting, so yeah, I guess I'm a writer.
My name's Greg LeGros, and they make me horny on Saturday morning. Girls of cartoons will leave me in ruins. I want to be Betty's Barney. Jane, get me off this crazy thing.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Oh, yeah. I actually, weirdly, I was thinking about using a Phil Hartman quote from that movie.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man. So good.
Yeah.
Does that movie hold up?
My friends call me Vicky.
I feel like it does.
I think it probably does. It's a funny movie. Right?
Oh, it has to. There's no way it doesn't.
He's
going to go cry himself to sleep on his huge pillow.
Head.
Pants now. Head. Turn off the bass of your rollers.
We have tons of stuff to talk about this week. Two of us saw The Revenant. Funny. One of us had to think like a man and watch Think Like a Man. We will roll for movies next week. We will talk about our top 10 of the year at the end of the episode this week. But first, if you'd like to email any of your thoughts to us, email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Go and rate and review us on iTunes. It helps a lot. Go to modernsuperior.com and comment on all of our comment threads on there for all of our shows and tell all of your friends about us in real life. But before we get to Film Roulette and all of those movies, we will do some itty-bitty tidbit committees.
Yeah.
We will talk about some movies we've been watching, anything that has been piquing our interest in the news. I haven't been paying attention to the news, but...
No, there's not a lot of news, really.
It's a slow news week.
Did you guys see about Creed 2?
Yeah.
So Sylvester Stallone was talking up about Creed 2 because Ryan Coogler has been batting around some ideas. And
really?
They're saying...
I think they'd leave it alone, man.
Yeah.
You got real lucky in a way, you know. This thing worked out real good.
Yeah.
You might have gotten Stallone an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it alone.
They're saying we don't know whether or not we should wait for him to be done with Black Panther or if we should get maybe him to produce and a new director. But they were saying the two things they were talking about was... Ryan Coogler was thinking maybe of doing some kind of a Godfather Part 2 thing with Apollo and having them, like, flash back to some new stuff and potentially do some digitally unaging.
Carl Weathers?
Yeah, with both of them, him and Stallone. Yeah, Stallone.
So
and doing like a new like
this.
Now and
why
before.
Would you
why
make...
don't shit on you got you made a nice really good fucking movie
but the
that
other
should
idea
not be fucking good.
The other idea is even worse, which is where Stallone says, "Oh, we should do another Russian, and we'll have him fight another Russian."
Why?
Who? I don't know.
Stallone's gonna fight a Russian like in a bar?
No, Creed.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. And not a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's remaking.
What is the relevance of him fighting a Russian again?
I don't know.
Just because it's so after the fact?
I think Sly was like, you see how things have changed.
No.
What is it like now?
Take your foot off the gas, buddy. It's working out.
Yeah.
You're in a legit good movie again. You fucking wrote your way back in to the conversation, and now here we are with something real good.
He's got a history of that turnaround fumble.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Why does it make Rhinestone Cowboy 2?
Yeah. Oscar 2.
Oscar 2.
Oscar again.
Movie. Yeah. Jesus.
Stop or my mom will shoot again. I have a new mom now.
Yeah.
Stop or my stepmom will shoot.
Yeah, that's what it would be. I like that. Green light it.
Yeah, you know what? That'll watch.
I'd watch it.
Get into it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know, but I didn't hear any other news, though.
No, I haven't been paying attention.
No, I've been watching shit like fucking crazy.
I've been on a fucking rampage.
Including the film Roulette movie. I think I watched 14 or 15 movies since last week.
Oh, no, okay.
Doing a real Matthew Price situation.
Before we get into movies and stuff like that, why don't we quickly, did we all finish Making a Murderer?
Yes.
How's yours turning out?
I've been using cotton balls.
Mine, I overbaked it. A little overdone.
My murderer was delicious.
Did we finish that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, pretty insane.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I know what I think. I know what I think happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just the power of television or something, but by the end of it, I was like, maybe he did it. I know he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel so certain that he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And that everybody
like,
involved
I don't think he's necessarily, like,
villain.
A good guy or anything like that, or
I
who knows?
I threw a cat in a fire.
Yeah, exactly. There's that. And I don't fucking, whatever. This is all about, like, a really... like the fucked up power of government and the law, you know?
Yeah.
And because there are things that I can't unthink about,
yeah.
you know, like the how clean everything is and there's no blood anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't
By the end of it they had they concluded that it wasn't in the bedroom but in the garage. But there was also no blood in the garage.
Yeah.
Right. No, nowhere.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that they never circled back on the cop, what's his name, sergeant or whatever, saying like
the license plate
before it had ever been found.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the license plate, the make of the, the look on his face when they, you could practically hear.
He might as well have started burping.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he was like, but his only response was like, I don't recall.
Yeah.
Which I guess works, and
it's worked forever.
Clearly, because in the next trial, in Brendan's trial, he's one of the cops fucking leading Brendan out.
Yeah.
I'm like, that just seems, maybe that's not illegal or anything, maybe, but that seems in bad taste.
Yeah. Yeah, and
so fucked up.
I read some like Reddit threads that went pretty deep into like alternate, you know, ideas and shit.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people were talking about that guy probably illegally searched the grounds before and found it and like called to like run it, but then realized he couldn't bring this in as evidence because they didn't have a right to be there. So then that's why they sent in all the people with like the cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Oh, that's why they sent in the girl's aunt or whatever.
Yeah.
And said,
like, go look,
go directly over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense how she would know where to go look.
Yeah. You
know?
Immediately, amongst the thousands and thousands of cars in this fucking thing.
Yeah, yeah, totally insane.
So crazy.
What a show.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the must-see Netflix television event.
Absolutely.
You can talk like this for hours all the things.
Debate and ponder.
Yeah.
Hopefully something will happen.
Yeah.
And I said, and now about like three quarters of the way through, just after last record, I saw an article that said, that the documentary actually withheld evidence yeah. that was used in the trial.
Right.
And I was like, really? So yeah. I read that article, and it was
I know. I saw the same thing. I read it. I was like, there was a couple things that, like, okay, she didn't want to ever come back because he had done some weird things, like answer the door in a towel and, like, was probably pretty gross towards
he's
her,
like a
which I believe.
Hillbilly guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for her that he answers the door in the towel. I think that's evening wear for him.
And, but also, probably he was hoping that she would look at his dick. But
yeah. He's probably a real fucking weird creepo. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, there's a big jump
between. If you get locked up for nearly 20 years for something you didn't do and you were a young guy when you went in. And you weren't really the smartest fellow around, you know, you're going to come out kind of fucked up. Prison's not like really the most, I don't know, it isn't really
correctional
the most,
facilities.
It's not helping him out or making him well adjusted for society. Or
like you were saying, he's not a good guy. This guy's crazy. And I believe that she probably had a real reason not to want to go back there.
For
but I don't think that means he's a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was other stuff in one of the ones that I read where it was like, here's the things that you might not know about him. He threw a cat over a fire. And I was like, that was in the first episode.
Yeah, I
missed it somehow,
I knew the shit out of that.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, they say like, oh, well, that family, they're all fucking each other. And you see a bunch of shit like that. And I'm like, yeah, it's America. It's like the fucking backwoods of America. Of course they are. Like, but again, it doesn't make the guy a murderer. It just makes him a creepazoid.
So fascinating.
Yeah.
Following that.
Not that everybody in their family fucks each other in America, but
no.
In like backwoods places like that. Probably backwoods places like that in Canada too.
Sure.
You said following that.
Following that. Because I was
speaking
like, it ended, and
family.
I didn't get the satisfaction I really wanted.
Yeah,
but that's all like I wanted to watch.
Yeah,
I watched a documentary that's on Netflix as well called The 7-5.
Oh, I wanted to see that so bad, and I pointed it out to Emma, and then she watched it without me. I was like, we should watch this because we had just watched The Rubble Kings about the people in New York, and I was like, here's another like crime one about me.
Yeah.
This one's about crime. That was about like hip hop and stuff. And I was like, the New York of that era sounds so interesting. I want to see this. And then she was just one watch it without me.
Yeah. It's about the police corruption, particularly with two officers, but in a very corrupt precinct, the 7-5. 75th Precinct in East New York in the 80s.
When corruption was just like what you did.
Out of control. And the crack boom is going on. So like the drug problem in New York. New York was like a fucking war zone in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it will get your attention immediately because it starts with like a hearing with an officer who is just very bluntly confessing to, like, the guy is like, did you deal drugs? Yes. Did you were you helping out drug dealers and cartels? Yes, I was.
Yeah.
You know, were you using drugs? Absolutely. How many times did you break the law as a New York City police officer? Hundreds.
Yeah.
He's just like laying it out. It's like, oh shit. And that's like the credits haven't rolled.
Yeah.
That's just the first thing you see. And the matter of factness of this guy is really like quite engaging. Anyway, it's a fucking bananas story.
Yeah.
Totally fucked. But really, really engaging. And after watching Making a Murderer and then watching this movie about deeply corrupted police officers, I was so bummed.
Yeah.
I just felt
sure.
I needed a grown up to take me away from all this madness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
So you went outside, you found the nearest grown up.
Help me.
Yeah.
It was a really. It's some sobering stuff, man. Like, this is some pretty fucked up shit. And it's crazy how much people can do and get away with for like a long fucking time.
Totally.
Granted,
yeah.
A lot of this stuff comes out, but a lot of it fucking doesn't, you know? But it was really interesting to watch after watching Prince of the City.
Yeah. I was thinking when you were saying the opening sound kind of almost like...
It's the time period.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not anything even close to the same story, but it feels very similar. Really fascinating. It's on Netflix right now, the 7-5. I think
I'm definitely going to watch it.
It's not 10 hours of wondering what's going to happen. It has an ending, which is great.
Yeah.
It's just like an hour and 40 minutes, but what a terrific documentary.
Yeah,
it's
I need to watch
another
that.
Really really cool one to check out.
If you want one that has like a bit more of an uplifting thing, now go watch Rebel Kings, because that's like about an hour.
Right. Oh, okay.
And it's all about the gangs from like 10 years earlier, but it has like the uplift at the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And in New York. Yeah. So I'm going to go watch that one then.
Very cool.
And you watch
I'll watch Rebel Kings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Casey, what have you been doing?
Watching movies also.
Yeah.
I did a big catch up on 2015 movies.
Yeah, me too.
There's a couple that I think all three of us are going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The first movie I watched, might as well get into it. The first movie I watched of the year was The Big Short.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And we have
also watched that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we've all watched that.
Yeah.
So, Dan, because again, you are constantly tip your hand on Letterboxd, I know what you thought.
Yeah.
I know what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I'm in here.
I also saw you tip your hand on Letterboxd.
I did, yes. Greg, what'd you think?
I didn't write anything on Letterboxd.
Keeping your thoughts to yourself.
I don't have all your freewheeling free time.
Yeah.
You're still a mystery.
I was very curious to see this movie. It's an interesting story.
I was really curious to see this. Yeah.
A pretty cool cast put together under these unusual circumstances to have this kind of story told by this director.
Yeah, Adam McKay.
Adam McKay with his first foray into drama. Let's not fully say drama because there's still some quirkiness to it.
It's definitely a comedy that's... It's an instructional comedy.
Yeah, it's a... some very, very good performances, and it's a bit of a grating bummer of a movie, though. I liked some of the angles he was taking with, like, trying to explain some of the finer points of, you know, real estate finances, because I don't understand them fully. And parts of it worked and parts of it didn't. Same thing with breaking the fourth wall, because a lot of characters break the fourth wall in this movie. And it only worked for me when Ryan Gosling did it, because it was established that he's the narrator before I've seen a single human being.
Yes.
And he does it off the top, and that's fine. But then they just started letting all kinds of people do it. And they just started to do it, it felt like, because someone hasn't done it in a while.
Yeah.
So this guy's going to turn around and say, no, actually, my name is this, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, has nothing to do with the story, has nothing to do with the plot. You just turn somebody to the camera to talk to me, and I don't care.
Yeah.
And then it felt too gimmicky, and that became a bummer.
See?
And the same thing with the cutting away to have a detailed financial transactions explained by celebrity guests or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense to me with Anthony Bourdain.
I really thought the Anthony Bourdain one was good.
A great explanation.
Yeah, it was a visual aid to go along with it and a metaphor that made sense.
The difference between that and, say, the Margot Robbie
one was that they were just crazy.
It was just like, Margot Robbie's going to tell you something. Don't listen to it. Just look at a hot girl in a tub.
Yeah.
You completely
counteracted what you're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah. No, don't do that. Explain it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Fuck off. I'm not a fucking, low-minded pervert that as soon as there's a girl in the tub, I'll listen to anything.
Yeah, I found that a little...
I agree.
Shit, man.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, that really bummed me out. That's
I'll
it,
refund
like,
your money.
I was like, this movie doesn't catch me in the next 5 minutes, I'm turning it off. Because I'm just like, I'm not, this is
I was
shit right here.
I was pushed off by that as well. And I was like, they better, like, if they're going to do this, they better. And then the Anthony Bourdain one, I thought really worked.
Mostly I got pulled back in by an outstanding Christian Bale performance.
Yeah. I just felt like I was waiting for the movie. Like, I was really excited for this story. I knew it was going to be about something that I don't really get, and I just didn't feel engaged by it the way I wanted to.
No.
See, I agree with everything you're saying. I thought that there were some cheap tricks and some, like, poor filmmaking and some just distasteful jokes and stuff like that that was just kind of like... what are you doing? Just explain that crisis. But I also felt that it was an insanely American movie, and I don't mean to sit there and bash America, but I felt like it was a very American movie. Like, I feel like it was like, this explains, and even to the point where some of those explanations were almost sort of... there to mock American sensibilities.
Yeah, like I've heard people defend the stuff that Greg and I were saying we don't like by saying, well, that's what the banks were doing.
Yes.
They were saying, look over here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're telling you, and then not.
That's what I actually ended up really, really liking about this movie. And it did all that, but then it also showed you, like, it was constantly beating you over the head with, America, this is what your fucking, this is what banks are doing to you. This is what your government is doing to you. America, look at what's happening. This is still fucking happening, and you're still turning a blind eye. You just bailed these fuckers out, and this is what is fucking happening. I ended up, the overall point I thought was so well made, that I so easily forgave all of the really dumb and amateurish bullshit about this movie.
Yeah.
And I was not crazy about all the performances. Christian Bale was fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. Those two dudes who play
the young guys,
the sort of like young hedge fund guys, I thought they were both fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Carell was amazing.
Yeah, he was
Steve
really,
Carell
really
was
good.
Fucking amazing. I thought that the whole part, granted, this probably happened to, was it Mark Baum? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Happened to him. I mean, his brother probably, you know, well, obviously, it's all based on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I felt they could have, I don't think they needed the big scene where he broke down, because I didn't feel like it was this kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
But who, whatever, his performance was incredibly compelling.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved going to the dude in the desert and going like, hey, can we speak to blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, you want to speak to my landlord's dog? and he's like, well, no, your landlord is defaulting on his loan. And he's like, well, I'm paying my rent. And then you see him at the end of the film and he's fucking out on his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because his landlord is a fucking scumbag.
Yeah.
I thought it. I agree 100% with everything that you guys are saying, but I think that those points also made the point of this movie, and that's what drove it home for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I dug
it.
Yeah,
like, I didn't hate the movie.
Yeah, me either.
I hated things about it.
Yeah.
I feel like it was like a halfway step to, like, I can't wait to see what he does after this.
Yeah.
I feel like that will be the one for me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because there were things that were all right.
Yeah.
You know.
See, it didn't make me want to watch another Adam McKay movie. It just made me want to learn more about about how everything exactly went down. Because they kept saying, you know, well, the bottom line is, it boils down to, we're betting against these loans. We're betting against the banks. And I'm like, well, yeah, but what do you mean betting? How is your money being used? You know, you're not. Are you buying these shitty loans in these kind of prepackaged in this prepackaged format? And then what are you doing with them? I don't quite understand that. I understand basically what was a CDO or whatever.
Yeah.
I understand basically what these things are and how they're packaged and what they're comprised.
But I don't know what you're doing.
But I don't understand.
So, yeah.
How you are affecting those.
I think maybe that was why I didn't feel as engaged as I wanted to. Because I was like, I want the movie to tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me these things I need to know to be engaged. Like, I feel like if I had read a really great, like, New York Times, you know, 5-page article about this, I probably would have had a more engaging, through line of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, yeah, like, I did feel like some of the filmmaking tricks were a little like, I'm doing something for you this time.
Absolutely. But again, I feel like there was a point to it.
He'll get there, I feel like, for me.
Yeah.
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 Sweet.
Yeah, it was sweet.
What else are we talking about?
What else? Well, have you said anything, Dan Gorman?
No, I haven't.
Well, tell us something.
I watched so many movies. Uh-huh. I don't want to talk about them all because there's way too many of them.
Yeah.
I will talk about... I did a little New Year's Eve. I've been watching a lot of movies about New Year's Eve. So I watched New Year's Evil, seen it a million times. Terror Train, seen it a million times. But I do want to say I watched End of Days from 1999 with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I saw that you were watching that. And I was like, oh, I'd like to make an effort to watch that again. Because I remember that movie being such a fail in such a bizarre way.
Oh, it's a crazy movie.
It's insane.
Quiet Boy!
I mean, I'll say this. It is a terrible movie, but it was the final film I put on New Year's Eve at like 1 in the morning. And And that movie just fucking played for me. It's just insane. Yeah.
So End of Days was your first movie of 2016.
Yeah, 100% it was.
Dynamite. Wonderful.
And it was a great way to start the year. I loved it. I loved watching it. It's just a real, like, fucking subways are blowing up and Arnold's punching the devil and making one-liners and shit.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is for me, man. It's I don't know what's going on, but I love it. But then I did watch a movie that I'd never even heard of that I mentioned to you guys from 1983 called Get Crazy, directed by Alan Arkush, starring Daniel Stern.
Is that the one that you were going fucking insane about?
Malcolm McDowell, Lou Reed, tons and tons of people are in this movie. Lou Reed plays like a Dylan kind of character. There's even a scene where
Dylan McKay?
yeah. He plays like a Bob Dylan character. And one of the scenes is like the cover of the album. They're really trying to sell it. They've framed it like the album. Anyway, it's about a New Year's Eve concert. And there's all these bands playing. It's basically like an airplane style comedy. Alan Arkush tried to make a movie about how he worked at the Fillmore East. And it was going to be his like... You know, this is I'm doing the movie about my youth and all the crazy stories from my real life at, you know, ushering these insane rock star concerts. But they wouldn't let him make it unless it was like a crazy, sexy comedy. They could sell it that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he just was like, fuck it, I'll do it. So then you have this weird movie that you can kind of tell there's like some like rock and roll truth to it. Like Malcolm McDowell plays this like Jagger kind of like Mick Jagger-esque character and he's fucking selling it and he's so weird in this movie and Daniel Stern's just playing the kind of like straight man doing the Usher thing and it's insanity.
Wow.
It's like eight gags a minute, like mile a minute comedy and at first I was like, this is fun, but I'm going to get tired of it. But the crazier it got, the more I was like, I love this movie.
Yeah. What's it called?
Get Crazy.
Okay.
And there's like a drug dealing like cyborg thing for some reason. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy.
Like the
80s. I loved it. Mm,
that sounds great.
Yeah. And that got me on an 80s kick. So
yeah, I saw you watched Electric Dreams.
I did watch Electric Dreams.
Yeah.
Which I really liked.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah.
And then I saw it was on full on YouTube. And
that's where I watched it.
I gotta watch Electric Dreams again.
That's a cool movie.
Yeah, yeah.
They go a long way to make this computer be sold as like a character. And it kind of works. The direction is insane.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will say, after I watched Get Crazy, some movie popped up on YouTube and it was like, had 1983 or something on it. And I was like, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to watch
it. Yeah, right on. I've done that.
You will watch anything that says 1983.
It's just like 1980 and it had a name I'd never heard of.
The YouTube just keep going thing. That's pretty good. I've done it a couple of times.
Have you guys ever heard of A Night in Heaven?
A Night in Heaven. Mm.
Okay. Because it didn't ring a bell for me. So I put it on 100% blank.
Yeah.
And it opens with this like guy biking home from work and he works at like a space station. And it's like, and
what?
it's not wacky. He works at like,
he's biking home from space.
He like a space, like a NASA space station out in
right.
Florida.
Okay.
No space bike. But he's like biking home.
Next.
And there's this music, that's like 80s music, and it's not like super wacky, so I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a little bit more serious, but I still expected it to be kind of like a fun little movie. This is by the director of Rocky and Karate Kid, John G. Alvilson, and it was written by the woman that wrote Nashville, and it is about a teen high school student, this guy, who moonlights as a stripper, and...
A high school student?
I think it's like community college or something.
It's about a 14-year-old boy.
he looks pretty young. And out of nowhere, it becomes a movie like totally about him being a stripper and how his teacher flunked him. And she goes to the strip club and she's like, oh, I just flunked that kid. And then he shoves his crotch in her face. And it is insane.
Wow.
And then
she goes, A+.
Yeah. And like the dad finds out and he like gets a gun and he goes like gets the stripper kid and he's like, you've been fucking my wife. I want to see you dance. And like makes him strip at gunpoint.
I thought you meant his dad finds
out.
And he's like, he's going to murder his son.
No,
for
the husband of the main character wants to see him dance. He's the husband of the main character who's like having this affair with him is like finds out and he like goes and kidnaps him at gunpoint. He's like, "So you're a dancer, eh? I'm gonna make you dance," and like puts pull, like goes out on a boat in the middle of the like lake, and then like makes him strip and shoots holes in the boat while he's stripping. It is insane. It's crazy.
Is it played as a comedy, or
it's played as like this is like a well, basically, as far as I can tell, the woman who wrote Nashville wanted this to be kind of like. Because male strip clubs, I guess, were a big thing in the 80s. It's like, look at all like yeah, all these yeah. all these lonely wives are going to these strip clubs. Let's do a little like drama expose of it. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they cut out all of the serious stuff and just left in all of the tawdry exploitation. Like, this is just like an 80s flash dance strip-a-thon. Right. And once in a while, there'll be a dramatic scene that you don't care about.
Right.
It was yeah. fucking bizarre. And I had no, I went into it 100% blind, like, oh, it'll be like, you know, meatballs or something. Like, this is going to be like a fun little ladies movie.
Nope. Probably see a couple of meatballs.
It was fucked up. It was insane.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. But it was pretty hilarious.
Good for you for going down the YouTube yeah. wormhole.
I highly recommend
some weird
it.
Movies out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you pick weird movies on your own. Not weird, bad.
Yeah.
Needed, yeah, after I was in such a, you know, downer
yeah.
Vibe after all the corruption documentaries. So Athena and I were trying to fall asleep, and we just were like, anything that's just crap that can be on in front of us. So we started watching Air America.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Oh, my God.
It's on Netflix, and
why?
It's just there in front of me, and I'm like, this is totally like the... You know, the posters are smiling at you like, Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like, yeah, all right.
Have you ever seen it? I've never seen
charming.
It.
Be charming. I saw it in the theater with my mom.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw it when it came out.
I'll check
video.
In and oh. see if she remembers and
yeah.
she liked it.
Yeah.
Air America. I had the soundtrack.
Sweet.
On cassette.
Of course.
Yeah. As you know, it's a Vietnam
movie. Does it have a theme
movie,
song?
So, Air America.
That's how I would have seen it.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, yeah, it's Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
and their pilots in the Vietnam War. They're in Laos where they're not supposed to be. And it really, like, the movie hints at trying to be at something like the government was, you
yeah.
know, playing dirty pool and shit like that. But it just never gets there. And it doesn't know if it wants to be a movie about that or Mel Gibson smiling at
or him. A couple of wisecracking
yeah, right?
buddies. Yeah.
But anyway, so that's, I don't want to really talk about Air
yeah.
America. I just want to talk, I read you this little, I checked out on Metacritic. I'm like, I feel like this movie was really poorly received.
Yeah.
So I looked it up, and yes, it was.
Yeah.
But I noticed one blurb on here from the Globe and Mail here in Toronto.
Okay.
A guy named Jay Scott, and his little write-up of Air America said, Air America, starring Mel Gibson's big blue eyes and Robert Downey Jr.'s big brown biceps. I was like, what?
What?
And I just can't understand.
So his big brown
biceps.
Not really.
No, he's not.
He's not especially.
Any of those things.
He's not especially buff. Nor is he brown.
Oh,
yeah.
Or big.
Yeah,
yeah. He's not like a. He's not a muscle builder.
No, he's not a. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't understand at all.
So that guy was just like, I know Mel Gibson is like a pretty face, and this guy. Has arms?
Yeah. This guy has arms, and I've got a great line,
yeah.
and I'm going to try to fucking jam it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And Robert Downey Jr.'s twiddly little toes in Air America.
I see that movie. That
yeah.
movie I see.
I just don't understand, but it amused me to no end. Then I'm
yeah.
like, is he thinking of another movie?
Yeah.
I went through the cast. I'm like, who is he talking about?
Does
he
make somebody else have some big brown arms?
Else? Yeah. And it's like, there's no nobody in this movie that could possibly be.
Not a big brown arm to be
no,
found.
Not a one. Anyway. Thanks.
That's
Open
yeah.
Mail, circa 1990.
Yeah.
Some quality reporting.
Weird.
Well,
yeah, yeah.
If you want to go to another 80s movie,
yeah.
go to Off Limits from 1988.
Well, that's
this is,
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe and Gregory
Hines.
Yes.
Yes.
Cuz I watched that.
Yeah.
And that's a good movie.
Yeah, it's all right. I used to have
yeah.
that at Rancho.
I like
on,
that
videotape.
Yeah. yeah. It is the sweatiest, like greasiest, gross, grimiest like 80s buddy like it's not it's like a buddy movie, but it's not funny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's kind of funny, but it's mostly just like, oh shit, this is some real gross, like sweaty shit they're
right.
into here. Everybody is dripping with sweat the whole movie.
Good.
It was good though.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Ah, uh-huh.
Casey.
Well, I finally, like I said, I was catching up on some stuff. I saw Creed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's nowhere near my best of the year.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty good movie right up until the end where the boxing happens, and then it's a great fucking movie, and then I almost cried a little bit.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the guy was a big asshole and he sucked and he was just a total douche. And then he respected him.
Yeah. Wow. That's a it's a really solidly pretty good movie.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Fruitvale Station, but it's a solidly pretty good movie.
Yeah, great performance, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. The performances just absolutely elevate
how
that
great
movie.
Is Stallone in it?
He's really fantastic in it, but I don't understand all the Oscar talk.
No?
Because I think he's phenomenal in it. But I don't think he has enough to do to really warrant an Oscar. I feel like any Oscar buzz surrounding him is just like, that's Stallone. Stallone's doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's quite enough. I think that does a disservice to him as an actor. I think that if given the right role, he could win an Oscar. He's a great fucking actor.
He's fantastic.
And he's great in this movie.
Yeah.
I just think that his name is getting him a lot more Oscar buzz than his actual performance.
Well, you know, I loved the performance, and it is a stacked potential Oscar year for the supporting category in particular.
Yeah,
a lot of movies could have many
people
and I found his performance really endearing and really memorable and like really a good sense of craft, because where he could have gone big and shit like that, he didn't.
I agree.
Some really tight, small, contained moments that I really, really respected.
Absolutely.
I would just love to see him. I want him to get nominated really badly, and I would love to see him get it, just for the fact that you can more people would understand that he can actually act.
Yeah.
And then maybe see where that goes.
See, I would like to see this take him somewhere to where he gets a chance to do something really. I found this movie to be somewhat manipulative as well. It felt like a Rocky movie.
It's a sports movie.
But also it was just kind of like, I just kind of felt like, yeah, all right, now he has cancer. Of course he does. Of course he does. Mm-hmm. And also, Claire Huxtable will never be anyone but Claire Huxtable. So that was fine. And it was a hell of a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Watched a couple of other movies that I'll talk about, I guess, at the end when we talk about our best ofs.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about Kevin.
Oh.
Because that was something that we... I asked you guys. I was like, should I watch something about Kevin?
And I haven't seen it. Should I watch something about Kevin? What thing?
That's the one where Ben Stiller's trying to fuck a psychotic boy. I was like, should I talk about that? And Dan Gorman, you said you'd never seen it.
Yeah.
And then you said that it would be a good conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I've always wanted to see it. But for some reason, I've been reticent.
Yeah. I haven't watched it, but I really wanted to see it, but then you really didn't like it.
Yeah,
I
gave
it
a poor review.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to see it eventually, but it kind of turned me off from running out to see it. So,
So do you want to talk about Kevin?
We need to talk about Kevin. I don't think I'm quite as harsh on it as you, as perhaps you were.
Yeah.
Because I thought there were elements of it. I think at its heart, it's a pretty good movie. It's a movie that's told in a way that gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
And I understand that it's necessary sometimes to do a thing where you kind of flash back to little bits of their lives and it's like, ooh, what happened there?
Yeah.
Who's that? And why does everybody hate her?
And
then that sort of unfolds as the movie goes along. But I find that manipulative and...
It's hard to do right.
In this movie, it's not done right. It's really... just tell the fucking story.
Right?
Just tell the fucking story.
When I was watching it, and right afterwards, I wasn't that upset with it. It wasn't until I got on the show and started talking about it, because I don't really, like, go off of notes or anything like that. We just as I was unraveling it, as it was coming out of my mouth, I was getting more and more irritated. It was like, well, and what about this? This was stupid. And that's what that movie does, because it looks great, and you have good performances, and something that's really threatening to be interesting. But it never gets there.
It's so close to interesting to the point where I'm kind of, and even big explosive parts are they're just this side of interesting.
Yeah,
they're just right alongside interesting, but they never quite get there.
Yeah,
quite gets there. And the kid, Kevin, I was like, you're playing an evil guy, and also he's just evil.
Yeah, this is Yeah.
You know, like it's...
There's everything's... Why didn't anyone talk about Kevin? Because then maybe we'd know why.
Yeah, exactly. We need to talk about Kevin so this movie is good. That's why we need to talk about Kevin so this fucking movie makes sense. But as it stands right now, it's like, even if at the very end, they were like, he was possessed by the devil, I would have been like, okay.
Cool.
Okay, then. I get it now. Not just evil teen. And there was a couple things in it like where it's like, oh, a seven-year-old kid did that. That's cold.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, why is a seven-year-old kid doing this?
Exactly.
Like, where did this kid learn to be manipulative? Like, because, you know, nature or nurture, blah, 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 blah. Certain things that this kid does would have to be learned behavior.
Yeah.
And you don't show me where he learned that behavior, so I'm just kind of like, this kid is just evil.
Yeah.
And maybe she's a
but
shitty
didn't
mom.
But did you say one episode ago or two episodes ago that you missed movies where the evil bad guy is just evil and you don't know why?
Yeah, I'm talking about Transformers. I'm not talking about a tight psychological thriller. it's fine. He's just evil.
I think you were actually talking about Star Wars.
I was talking about Star Wars. I'm not, it's. I read this book called Vernon God Little. That's really great, and it sort of centers around the whole kind of Columbine culture, and it's extremely interesting. And this was based on a book too.
Apparently, this book was all told through letters that were being sent like back and forth and stuff.
That's right.
I don't care for that. But I don't care for a book that's structured like that. That's just a taste thing, I think. But this book or this movie made me just want to not be watching that book, and it made me want to read Vernon God Little again because it's a great book.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, fuck that movie.
Well, we'll do a
fuck that movie.
We'll do an Oculus thing.
But the thing is, at the end of it, I was like, I can't say this was a bad movie because there's stuff about it.
Yeah.
There's little things about it, maybe with a different director or something, and even different actors, because John C. Reilly and
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton are fucking great.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Absolutely. That kid's he's going to be the Flash.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid was whatever. I can't say he was necessarily bad.
No.
Because at the end, he makes a choice, or rather, there's kind of a character choice where I was kind of like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
But also, wait. Explain that. The movie fucking doesn't.
No. Yeah, we'll do an Oculus thing, and I'll eventually see it, and we'll see
where
I land.
Yeah, where you can say either we need to talk about Greg, or we need to talk about Casey. But although both of us hated it, so I don't know.
We need to talk about Dan.
What else?
What else? What about you?
What about you?
I will mention another YouTube thing I landed on YouTube Roulette. Mm-hmm. I watched a movie from 1980. This one was also from 1983. I watched three movies from 1983.
Very good.
One from 1984, 88, 89, a lot of 80s. But I landed on The Raiders of Atlantis from 1983, directed by the director of Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh.
This is an Italian low budget action movie, not unlike Light Blast and other movies that we've had little talks about.
Yeah,
this is a total Mad Max ripoff, but it's also science fiction because it's about Atlantis.
I love Mad Max.
Yeah,
ripoffs.
You will like this movie. 100% Raiders of Atlantis. Check it out on YouTube. It's basically about this like research crew that find a sub and they bring it to the top of the surface, and it was from like Atlantis or something. And all of a sudden, this big island with a dome around it appears, and the dome opens up, and then a bunch of people end up going there. And there's these Mad Max people that were descendants from the original people of Atlantis who show up, and then everyone just throws Molotov cocktails and explosions for an hour.
Wicked.
Yeah. And 100 people get shot. Yes. And it's just, once you get through the first half hour of like hilarious dialogue, it's just all, there's a scene with this guy named Washington who has like a million Molotov cocktails. He keeps reaching off the screen and pulling a Molotov cocktail, kissing it, going, and then being like, "You want some of this?" And he throws it, and you see the explosion. And then we cut back to him, and he reaches off and pulls like the exact same one again. He's like, "You want another one?" He does that for like 10 minutes.
They're all my babies.
Yeah, for 10 minutes. It's just constant. I was like, where is he getting all these pre-made Molotov cocktails?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. Check it out.
All right.
It's a real piece of shit. It's so, it's all action, all explosions once it gets going.
Yeah. I got to see that.
It's a good Video Vengeance style thing. It's not as good as Light Blast, but
yeah.
if you're on YouTube, check it, like looking for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, no one has it on like DVD with a right print or whatever. It's possibly lost forever, so.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies, no matter what quality you see it in, it's going to be garbage. Pretty low quality. Yeah. Because it's just nobody takes care of movies like that.
Yeah.
No, which is a shame. It? This is a really entertaining movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I saw some other 2015 stuff, but I guess at the end of the episode, we'll do our list.
And yeah.
I'll get into that then. So I'll just, one more thing I watched of note, a movie I did not see last year. I think maybe I didn't when it came out, I was just not interested a bit based on star power that I wasn't down with recent output from. And it just, the way it was advertised to me was not appealing. And what a bummer, because I missed out on it last year, and but just saw it now. I saw Wild with Reese Witherspoon.
Okay. Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
Boy, I love that movie.
Right?
Holy shit.
Jesus, what a great fucking movie.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh,
start to
God.
Finish.
Yeah. And her performance is outstanding.
It's insane.
Yeah. Best thing she's ever done.
Yeah. Hands down.
Yeah.
Laura Dern, fucking amazing, man. Too.
Holy shit. What a fucking good movie.
Yeah.
Everything about it. I loved the script. I loved her performance. I loved the journey she goes on, not just the walking.
No, yeah, but that's a thing. You want to go like, oh, it's a movie about a journey, and that sounds really dumb, but it's...
Oh, man. It's fantastic. The direction is spectacular. And then, I was like, man, what? And credits roll, and this fucking screenplay adapted by Nick Hornby.
Yeah.
Like, of course. So you want to make something great even greater.
Yeah.
Get him on there. I was really taken aback by that movie. I put it on really late at night, too, when I should not have been able to stay up. But there was no way I was going to fall asleep.
For sure.
And that's a movie that does play around with time a little bit, where you're getting little flashes of something, but in the right amount to understand. Like you,
but you're walking. There's
2 seconds
point,
of something, and I'm like, I get why you showed me that.
Yeah, there's a point to it. You're walking a timeline.
Yeah,
like you're watching somebody walking for redemption from this shitty past that she kind of helped create.
Yeah,
and so it's important to see those things as she goes on.
Yeah.
Wow. It's what a fucking movie.
Yeah, hell of a movie.
Yeah.
That would have been on my year-end list, I think, last year had I watched it. But yeah, I don't know. Reese Witherspoon movies of the last while. Like, I just kind of was like, well, I think it's probably over.
Yeah.
Because I liked her when she was like an up-and-comer, like so much good work. I really liked Freeway.
Yeah.
Freeway's great.
Yeah, yeah. And then Election.
And SFW or So Fucking What?
'90s.
With Steven fucking Dorff.
Jesus. Yeah, Dorff. The extra F is for fuck.
The extra F is for middle finger.
Steven Dorff. Fuck.
Steven Dorff in Dorff on fuck.
Dorff, that was where Steven Dorff played golf, right?
Yeah.
That was where he did those little instructional videos.
On his knees.
On his knees? Yeah.
Yeah,
nice.
Fun.
Yeah.
One other super quick thing. I watched an episode of a new show just before I got here, just to check it out, because it's new on Netflix. Movie or a show called F is for Family.
Yeah,
new animated show.
Ties right into what we were just talking about.
It's called Dorff is for Family.
I saw this as well. Like the. They were doing it in the spotlight section of Netflix. So I didn't watch it, though.
It's created by Bill Burr, or co-created. What? What the fuck is your problem?
I heard it, too.
What?
Huh? I heard laughing that I thought
pregnant
maybe...
Pregnant wife made a very loud noise, and it was just
very
alarming for a second there.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, it's co-created by Bill Burr and stars him as kind of a 70s dad who, you know, just likes TV.
Yeah,
and he's
got
an unruly family.
Oh, fuck me, man. I watched the first episode.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. I confused it with something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not a good show.
No.
That is not a good show.
No.
That's an aggressively bad show.
Yeah, really bad.
It's like it's trying to rip off, what do you call it there? Mike Judge show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill, but it's also trying to go for cheap laughs.
Yeah.
And it's terrible.
Yeah, really bad.
Yeah.
Just felt misguided and wrong, and I'm like, I don't know why his voice, like his angle of comedy is being filtered through this.
It has nothing, what he is has nothing to do with what this is.
Yeah, no.
But it is written by him, and it's, I guess, based on his dad or something.
I guess.
But I'm like, I don't know, dude.
No liking.
Nothing at all. There's nothing here.
I didn't like that either. Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Should have gotten Stephen Dorff.
Yeah. Stephen Dorff. Fuck. Is there anything else before we get into film roulette?
No, man.
Okay.
I think we dorfed that one up.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with film roulette after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, and the loser has to go see something bad. This week we paired that up in the recent news of Steve Harvey fucking up Miss Universe. We made Casey watch Think Like a Man. We will also be talking about an album by Lil Bub. Yep, the cat, and we will roll for movies next week. As we mentioned, this week's winner was The Revenant. This is directed by Alejandro G. Iñárritu. How do you pronounce his last name? I've never said it out loud.
You just did it real good.
This stars Leonardo DiCaprio,
as far as I know,
Tom Hardy, amongst others, Lucas Haas, and more. This movie is about a frontiersman named Hugh Glass on a fur trading expedition in the 1820s on a quest for survival after being brutally mauled by a bear. This is loosely based off of a book, which was based off of a real guy who really did get mauled by a bear.
Yeah.
And really did go on a crazy survival quest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 156 minutes long, this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not see Birdman.
Yeah.
So I mentioned that before we recorded, and I haven't seen one of his movies in a while. So this was my coming back to his style.
Yeah.
And you guys had both seen Birdman and Split.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
yeah.
Split.
Yeah.
It's terrible. according to me.
Quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned before we got going that I wasn't a big fan of this movie to Athena. While Greg was there.
I was there.
So I'm excited to talk about it. Because Athena mentioned she loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you also very much enjoy this film?
I absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the obvious thing about it, we'll just get over that quickly, is how gorgeous this movie is.
It looks fucking...
It looks
unbelievable.
I don't know if I've ever seen. I don't know if I've ever seen a better looking movie in my entire life.
Phenomenal.
It's not just the lighting. Like almost every 2-3 minutes, I'd see something and I'd be like,
yeah.
"Oh my god, it's so beautiful!" just stunning.
Yeah,
and
it's gorgeous.
Yeah,
absolutely.
His single take work that he did quite a bit of in Birdman.
Yeah,
which was kind of fun and almost took a little kitschy in Birdman. Whereas this, I thought this is where it has a real role to play to really kind of bring you into a moment of something. This unbroken. Shots and where they were a little more difficult and daring.
Yeah.
And I really dug that. And it really kept the tension of some scenes and the out of control nature of a few scenes really vibrant and visceral for me.
Yeah.
So I know we've seen lots of movies about, either vengeance or survival.
Yeah.
And, committing to a task or whatever, how far you'll go to reach something.
Yeah.
So it's not really treading new water as far as that goes, but how this version of that story is told.
Mm-hmm.
And where the peaks and valleys of its intensity are really just worked for me. I found the pace of it hypnotizing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the performance.
It's a good way to describe it, definitely. Like some of this movie is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
You just get lost in it.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And part of the whole thing almost feels kind of like a crazy fever dream, too, in a way, you know? And so that quality of it, I was never bored at any moment in this entire film. And I was invested. I wanted things to happen, you know? I wanted things to be reached. And I don't know. It just I liked the there isn't a lot of dialogue, but the dialogue that is there I thought was great.
Yeah.
Also learned that Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah.
His name is Donal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how you say that. Donal.
Donal?
He's a Donal.
Yeah. Like our friend Donal?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's just like our friend Donal. Yeah. Donal Gleeson, anyway, is in this, and I thought he was fucking fantastic.
He's really good. And I thought Tom Hardy was, as always,
everyone.
Amazing.
There wasn't a performance in this that wasn't
great. Oh, Will Poulter's in it as well.
Yeah.
I like that
he's
kid.
He's great in it.
Yeah.
I was like, I liked every performance in this.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen a movie look so fantastic in a lot of years. And I was into the story.
Yeah.
I was really into it. And I kept thinking about it for a few hours afterwards. There was imagery and things that happened that just, I don't know, that hung out with me.
Yeah.
And still are.
Yeah, I guess for me, I don't know, I was so into it in that first opening scene.
Yeah.
Like, there's a battle that takes place, like a surprise attack that is just so, and you're right, uses that shot technique so well.
Yeah.
And then we get the bear.
Yeah.
And the bear is awesome.
Yeah.
That's a crazy scene.
Yeah.
And a scene where you keep thinking, like, fucking just pretend to be dead, man. Like, every time the bear mauls him, he, like, reaches for his gun and then shoots the bear. And the bear's like, oh, I'll come back and kill you again. like, I'll come back and murder you some more.
Is that an example of the dialogue?
Yes,
is that
the bear. It was Paddington. Yeah. But
I like your little coat.
It was, it's an intense scene.
Yeah.
But I guess from there was where the movie lost me. I felt like I was constantly finding other characters more engrossing and interesting than Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like the dragging of Leo through all this like dirt and muck was just too, like, I felt like it was too much of a check it out. Like it didn't feel like the character was reacting. It felt like because a big thing has been made about Leonardo ate dirt. He ate a live heart in the scene. Like, that's him eating a live piece of organ. Like, like they cut that thing open and he just like fucking ate the heart or the liver or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, and he's like barfing almost and shit. And it just felt like, I felt like I was seeing Leonardo DiCaprio playing a role reacting instead of like, this is the character of Glass and this is what he went through. It just felt like, here we are dragging an actor through of it. And I felt like there was a disconnect for me between his performance and him because of the way the movie was made, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it was so, like, we're doing it, we're living in this. Because I like that, but I didn't think it served a point. Like, when there's a method actor doing it for real and you buy it, I just felt like I never bought it.
Yeah.
And I felt like a large stretch of the movie, I felt out of it because of that.
Yeah. A lot of the movies he's in, he's an actor. You know, it's clearly a performance.
But he's been in movies where he's pulled it off, and I've been like,
"Whoa, what's eating Gilbert Grape?
You disappeared."
Yeah,
that's crazy. Not a performance. It's like, or it's not a. It's not like
you don't see
an
him
actor
pretending.
Look at me.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a genuine performance, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
But ever since that, like the older he gets, the more he's just like, it's clearly an actor.
I just felt like because a large chunk of the movie...
I don't know if that's a fair assessment, really. I mean, there have been some performances in the recent years that he's done
things. I agree.
That
he's
pretty,
been good in some stuff lately.
Like, I didn't like Wolf of Wall Street, but some of the scenes in that movie were fucking unreal what he did.
Yeah, but it's like Brad Pitt. It's the same thing. Like, it's an actor doing an impressive performance, but it's clearly an actor. I felt like that was very much Brad Pitt in The Big Short as well. He was when Brad Pitt does understated, he's like, look at me, I'm understated. Yeah. And I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio is very much the same way. I think the best thing Leonardo DiCaprio has done in a long time is Django Unchained, where that type of
thing. I agree with that.
He was an asset.
I feel like he's
playing a hyper reality so that.
And
he's
he was playing
kind of
something in
that
you haven't seen before where he was doing really, really evil, despicable.
Right.
And that's not something you've seen. I guess I just, with The Revenant, I felt when the movie became like his journey and all the trippy things that happened, and there's a lot of sort of like flashing back to stuff. Again, another movie that kind of does some flashbacks to little things. I just felt like there's so much of that, and because I didn't really buy the performance, I was just like, this is, then I became bored.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it was a lot of, like, they keep flashing back to, like, if you see a tree in the wind, you'll realize its roots are the strong part and stuff. And I just felt like it was so kind of like, oh, shut up, for me.
Yeah.
But I just felt like there's, like, an hour and a half of this movie that's, like, almost 3 hours, 2:40 long, that I was like, fuck, this is good.
Yeah.
But that's like half of the movie, you know? Yeah, yeah. And for me, another half of it, I was like not into it.
Yeah. I know. I was into it the whole time. And I felt like my interest sort of built because I kind of, there was a little part in the beginning after a flurry of things happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, is this going to be, it was literally about 2 minutes where I'm like, is this going to be what I think it's going to be? And then it wasn't what I was worried about. So, I don't know. I had a real fine time.
There are some side characters.
I just will say with Brad Pitt and stuff like that, too. I don't think Brad Pitt's even close to the kind of caliber of performances of DiCaprio. And in The Big Short, I feel like Brad Pitt just like was like, hey, what if I borrowed Robert Redford's hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Will this make me
I think I kind of liked him
like
because of that.
Yeah.
And now I
feel
like you've just like lifted the wool from my eyes. I was like, that is what he did. Because I was just thinking back to his performance and he's in the kitchen and he's like eating all the organic stuff. Yeah. And I was like, I kind of liked that bit. And then you said the hair thing. And I was like, that is what he was doing. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I felt like there was some really good side stuff going on. Like the character who stays back with Glass and Tom Hardy, that's not Leo's son, who kind of is like there for this betrayal and is almost in a way punished just for that by the end of the movie. And like him struggling with what he witnessed and people not believing that he wasn't a part of what Tom Hardy did and stuff. I was like, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
And the Tom Hardy stuff was interesting too, like when they get away and it's like, you know, Leo trying to get back to them. Every time they would cut back to them, I'd be like, there's some really cool stuff that I want to get into this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just felt like the balance was off for me.
Yeah.
But you definitely have to see this for the cinematography.
God, yeah.
Because it looks spectacular.
Yeah. Really, really.
Yeah.
Man, opening shot.
Yeah.
Just, what a great movie. I really liked it a lot. A lot.
Well, Casey.
Yeah.
You'll have to watch it.
I certainly will.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was busy watching my own 3-hour movie.
Oh, Casey, you watched a film called "Think Like a Man" from 2012, directed by Tim Story. This is based on the book by, why am I blanking on his
name?
Steve Harvey. I said it earlier.
Tim Story. Who the fuck is that? What's he done?
He's done. He did a couple movies that were big. He did. Let's see here. Director. Ride Along 2, Ride Along, Think Like a Man, the 2005 Fantastic Four, Barbershop.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Taxi.
Barbershop?
Yeah.
No, Fantastic Four.
Oh, Fantastic Four?
Yeah. Oh, this movie's over 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this movie also stars Kevin Hart, Chris Brown, Megan Good, Regina Hall, Gary Owen, and more. And the film is about four women have given up on getting their men to do what they want until they find a how-to book written by Steve Harvey. They start using his advice about relationships, and their men start falling in line until they discover what the women have been doing, and the war of the sexes is on.
Yes.
For 123 minutes.
Yes.
Casey,
the
you watched this movie.
The thing about this movie, the things I learned from this movie, first of all, I always thought that men and women were two, you know, equal beings who got together, you know, in relationships and as two people, both respecting each other and what the other can do and kind of living together like that. That is not true.
What?
No, guys, that is not true.
Why?
Men are dogs, y'all.
Oh. Yeah.
Shit. Women are hapless cunts.
Oh.
All of them.
Okay.
None of whom who can exist or understand how to be with a man unless one man, Steve Harvey, tells them what to do.
Oh, my God.
Oh, great.
But then when he does, then they're successful.
Yeah.
With guys, I don't even want to talk about this movie because I was fucking, like, I was about halfway to the end, and I just turned it off.
Another hour left.
I said to Miles, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't watch any more of this because this is so offensive. And she was like, you can't do that. It's for the show. You have to watch for the show. And I was like, they'll understand. And I can't do it. But then I was like, I have to do it because I have to put it on my list. I'm trying to make a list of all the movies that I watched this year.
Yeah.
Just to see how many movies I watch in a year.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't put it on the list if I don't watch it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And so I put it back on and I kind of toughed it out, but like it's gross.
Yeah.
It's fucking gross. Men are except Kevin Hart is fucking hilarious in this movie. Like, Kevin Hart is just genuinely funny. And he's got a line here or there that is so funny.
Yeah.
But you could...
Probably because he was let loose, could improv a little.
I feel like there was a... Yeah, they let him button a scene every once in a while. And those little buttons were fucking great. But even when he's delivering the most homophobic, this movie is incredibly homophobic. This movie is incredibly misogynistic.
You better check your man card, guy.
Yeah.
you're right. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because halfway through the movie, I checked my man card. It had expired.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So,
just get a new man card.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had to borrow a vagina. This movie has... You know, it has like the basic archetypes, the playa, the guy who's totally whipped by his woman, the guy who just won't grow up kind of thing, blah blah blah, the white guy, it's kind of that. Well, this movie's so racist.
It's so in all fucking... of the boxes.
Yeah. It's so racist.
Yeah.
But even some of the racism is kind of funny. Like, it's got some funny lines. Some of the homophobia is, I hate to say it's funny. It's just the way Kevin Hart delivered this one line where the guy's like, the white guy, he's talking about his son plays cello and violin.
Oh,
and
he must not like women.
One of the other guys like, oh, he's gay.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Hart. He's like, oh, he's gay. And he's like, and the white guy who's like, he's not gay just because, you know, he plays. And he's like, oh, no, he's gay. Your son's gay. And I was like, well, name one violinist. And Kevin Hart's like, your son. And it's so well delivered.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to find that funny. Like, you know how that thing, like, where you can separate it and go, the delivery of that was really funny.
Kind yeah,
of
yeah.
But I so didn't want to find it funny because I was... At the heart of it, offended that Steve Harvey thinks that, first of all, it seems that he thinks that all black men think that any display of art is gay.
Yeah.
And all the women in this movie are constantly like reading his book and going like, oh, that's what I've been doing wrong. You're right, Steve. Thanks for showing me the way. because they're completely fucking hapless and harpies and shitty people without Steve Harvey to tell them what to do and to tell them that, no, it's you against men. It's not men and women together living in the world. It's women against men. And that's why you're failing.
Oh, God. What an exhausting life that must be.
Yeah.
Like, I kept having that thought, like, my God, Steve Harvey must hate himself so much. Yeah.
Is like, he in it? Does he pop up to be like, what's up?
He fucking pops up every once in a while just to give little advice things. Like, he'll
Does
be
he
on a TV here or there.
Or oh, okay.
Like, he'll be on a TV. No, sometimes he'll be on a TV here or there, on like a talk show or something.
Okay.
And they'll have him spouting his fucking bullshit that nobody really believes. Nobody actually thinks this. It's just, you know, maybe his parents beat it into him or something. Uh-huh. It's just, it's this cycle of
hate. But the books and stuff are so successful, there's got to be, I mean, there's people.
But this
they
is,
made a movie out of it. I feel like there are people, idiots, that think this,
oh,
right?
There absolutely are, but all he's doing is perpetuating this bullshit because it's easy to swallow. I figured this out about three quarters into the movie, and this is the fucking most detrimental thing, is that he doesn't write advice for human beings. I think Steve Harvey has wanted to be famous or in the public eye or you know, in movies and stuff like that since he was a kid. And I think he's always grown up with an eye towards, you know, the archetypes of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he doesn't write advice. And somewhere along the way, he got it into his head that he was smart enough to write, you know, advice for people. But he doesn't write advice for people. He writes advice for, you know, Hollywood archetypes. Like, so he writes, well, you know, the Hollywood playa guy who doesn't really exist. Nobody's that two-dimensional. But he writes these sound bites for that guy to successfully live. But that guy doesn't really exist. But these sound bites are so easily digestible that people go, oh, well, I must be that two-dimensional character. So this must be what I have to do. So it just perpetuates this fucking hatred between, between men and women, between, you know, straight people and gay people, between the races. It is such a hurtful movie.
Yeah.
And it's all played off like it's fucking hilarious. And the shitty thing is, parts of it are because Kevin Hart is insanely watchable. Everyone else in this movie, you know, Taraji P. Henson, she's so likable. Who else? Fucking Gabriel Union, who is a fucking delight to watch.
Yeah.
It's got so many wonderful people in it that it can so easily be seen as oh, this is harmless fun to watch.
Yeah.
But it's this insidious bullshit. It's this insidious agenda. And maybe I'm putting too fine a point on it, but it doesn't feel like it. Like, it's a vile fucking, this movie violated me.
Yeah.
And I was fucking hurt by it.
Yeah.
Sorry to go on this fucking diatribe.
No, terrific.
It was not.
Yeah.
This was not a pleasant experience. And it made me feel really sorry for Steve Harvey, because no amount of money will fucking patch up the hole in that man. I don't want to say he's a soulless human being, because who am I to judge, but something hurt him and something made him this way, and man, I really feel sorry for him. But also, it just made me, despite any human compassion I may have, it just made me hate him for perpetuating this bullshit.
It's crazy that he shows up on because the book, I guess, exists in the world of the movie. So he shows up on like a talk show on the TV.
Yeah.
Is he like,
is it new footage, or do they just use footage?
Oh, there's some new footage. I think some of it might have been.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry Shepherd plays this talk show host. I think he's on her talk show kind of thing. So I think
he's
a lot
just
of it
like,
was
hey, I'll
this
dish
movie.
Out something kind of related to the plot right now.
Yeah.
But
this movie also is just a thinly veiled conveyance, not only for his horribly wrong beliefs, but also for his book.
Yeah.
Because everybody keeps, they might as well keep saying, are you talking
book.
About Steve Harvey's book? It's been sold out here for, you know, months now.
Better get your copy.
Yeah. Go online and order it. $24.99.
Yeah. Gross.
It's so gross, you guys. And I fucking hate that I had to watch this movie.
I'm sorry, man. Yeah.
No, it's cool. I mean, I'm also fascinated that it exists. And I'm glad that I know that this kind of thing can exist, because I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to be the as a dad guy, but I don't like that this shit exists in a world where I'm trying to raise a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, That's Think Like a Man. Because I was the loser last week, I got to give you guys an album.
Yeah.
I saw that an album was released in 2015 that was curiously not on many best of lists because it seemed like a very weird thing to be out there. But also it didn't make much traction. I don't remember where I stumbled upon it, but I found that Lil Bub the Cat, the wonderful meme of the internet, one of the most famous cats in the world outside of Grumpy Cat. Yeah. It's like Grumpy Cat and Lil Bub are the two most famous cats in the world.
I'll support that statement.
Yeah. And I saw that it had a she had a album out called Science and Magic.
Yeah.
And I thought, what's this going to sound like? And I popped it up on YouTube, and I heard a couple of seconds of the single, and I was like, this sounds like some upbeat kind of 8-bit chiptune kind of stuff. And I was and I didn't hate the 2 or 3 seconds I heard, but but I was kind of like, I need to know what this is about, so I need to give it to you guys.
Yeah.
So I gave you guys Science and Magic by Lil Bub.
Yeah, you did.
What was your experience with this album? Both of y'all.
Well, I really didn't know. You said 8-bit stuff and whatever. Yeah. I didn't really know what to expect when devoting my time to listen to an album
made by
some guy who has a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, is the cat on there? How much of a
cat
role will he play? Is it she?
She,
Lil Bub? Right.
Yeah.
What is her place in this?
And it's been pitched as like it was... There's like a in the studio with Lil Bub like video that's kind of like a sketch, I guess, that of them like recording the album, and Andrew WK came out and like gave his seal of approval of this album, and they pitched it as you know, she came up with the music and like we're just bringing it out of her head. Like they pitched it as if it was like this is all written by her, but she's using us as like the instruments to make it or whatever. It's all like a joke. But it is, I do believe that they are musicians in some bands, and this was kind of just like, let's make a little album for her.
Okay.
Obviously, so, to sell as merch and make money off.
Yeah, for sure. And that's clearly what happened.
Yeah.
But this album was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was way better than it had.
I did go on the journey with you guys.
Yeah. I put it on while I was on my way to work for my first listen, and that opening track, I was like, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, really interesting. And then by the time I hit track 10 or something like that, I was like, I don't ever want to hear anything from this album ever again.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll necessarily listen to it, but I think if I was, like, editing together a project, a video or something like that, and I needed something inoffensive or something to put underneath it, that I didn't just want to do something like this movie occasionally will have an interesting
album.
What did I say?
You said movie.
I'm so tired. Talking about Think Like a Man made me tired. This album has some interesting choices all through it.
My experience with it, because I was like, I am gonna after I heard the one snippet and gave it to you guys about halfway through the week, I was like, I can't not. I need to see what this is, what they are going through.
Yeah.
And well, you're right. I put on the first album and there's like real string like stuff going on. Yeah. And I was kind of like,
first song.
Yeah, first song. What did I say? Track?
Album.
Oh.
Potpourri.
Yeah. Dune. Yeah, and I was kind of like, this is interesting. And then the second song was, I think, the single with like, it has kind of like an 8-bit chiptune thing.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I'm really into this. But then 2 and 3 were kind of like, okay, you just had a little thing and you made a song out of it.
Now
there's a couple songs
movies
like that. But some of those songs in the middle of it kind of took a turn. And I was like, well, I like what you're doing here.
Yeah. And it just started to beat me down. I'm like, stop it.
I did get to the end of every
time. I'm
not
playing a game or doing anything. And if I'm just sitting on the subway listening to this, I just wish I was dead.
Well, that's the thing is I listened to it. I listened to it while I was driving a lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was watching the road and it was kind of happening over around here kind of thing.
What road?
The road was everywhere, you guys. Guys,
I
might have been drunk the whole time. But every once in a while I would tune back in and I'd be like, well, that's a really interesting time signature.
Yeah.
In my mind, and also I'd be like, that's real bass. There's never any real guitars or anything like that. I didn't hear any.
There was some real guitar.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't
definitely
notice
some
any
real guitar.
I didn't notice any real guitar
on a couple songs.
But I also was looking for cat sounds, and there was one thing where I was like, that might have been a cat.
Yeah. More than one of the tracks end with it going like. Like purring and stuff at the end of the song.
Oh, perhaps I didn't notice that.
Most of the stuff seemed to happen at the end of the song.
I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. There's not much of a cat on this.
No. not much of a cat.
Yeah. I just, in my mind, when Casey was saying he was listening to this and he was all over the road, you were like driving and then your world turned into like Rad Racer on the NES.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, like I'm somewhere between, like I was listening to it thinking like, there's a lot of thought and a lot of fun that probably was had going into this. They're definitely trying to make this more than just, we put a couple MIDI songs on an album and said it was by Lil Bub. But at the same time, by the end of it, I was like, I'm turning this off and then I'll come back on these last couple tracks next day or whatever. I never really got through it all as like an album.
I did actually a couple times. But I think... Like to sort of solidify my thought on it, I think what it is it sounded like a musician who's really good at just sitting down and mapping out a song, like with VSTs and little MIDI instruments and stuff like that, who's really good at sitting down and mapping out a song. This sounded like all of his ideas on one album, and we're like, oh well, had you spent a lot of time with each one of these. With each one of these tracks and then formed them into structured pop songs with cute little vocal melodies over the top, you could have made a really sweet little pop album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't put the time in to do that. You just went, you just have a funny looking cat. So you put the funny looking cat's face on it and just said, it's an album.
Yeah. It's just soundtrack to the universe.
Yeah. but I was like, at no point was I offended by this. And a couple of times I was like, that's a sweet little melody. And that's a really interesting idea.
Yeah. No, I agree. I put a couple of these songs on my like electronic music like playlists that I use while I'm at work and stuff that they'll pop up and I'll be like, hey, what is this? Oh, yeah. The Lil Bub album.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the one. These are the ones I like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you really need to do. But that said, I won't ever listen to this again if I don't have to.
No.
So, Casey, you suffered this week with Think Like a Man.
Yes.
But you had a nice little rainbow 8-bit journey through the universe with Lil Bub.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for punishment?
Well, I was really weirdly blown away. I'll tip my hand now. I was really weirdly blown away when you said... this album was that Andrew WK came out and said that this album was great, and I was like, wait, what? Because I decided that Andrew WK had a big album when he kind of first burst onto the scene called I Get Wet.
Yeah,
and I remember a couple of tracks
she
from it.
Is beautiful.
Yeah, or like I like to party up my butt or whatever. I don't remember if that was a song, but I remember thinking like, okay, well, I'll just wait 5 minutes and this will go away. Mm-hmm. But then much after the fact, people kept talking about how great Andrew WK is and how he's so wonderful and how his music is really great. You got to give him a chance and everything. I was like, well, I don't really understand it, nor do I really want to spend the time to get to know. Like, I've seen him do other things like interview people and like do like little fringe things here and there. And I'm like, oh, this guy seems really interesting.
Yeah. He's got an advice therapy column, which is like really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And people just seem to really be down with what this guy does.
His positivity.
So, yeah. So I was like, well, I'll give them that album because it's got a couple of memorable songs on it. And I was like, well, you know, what's it like as a whole album? Maybe it really works as a whole album. Or as a whole concept.
Yeah.
And so I was like, and then you just said that, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Where
what
is this connection
were
coming?
You on?
But I realized because I was listening to it, I'm on a 3-month trial of Apple Music.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can get it on Android now.
Yeah.
So I'm on a 3-month trial for that. And it must have shown up while I was listening to this little Bub thing. It must have shown up. Like that he had said something about it, so he shows up and something like that. But anyway, check him out.
All right.
Okay, let me know.
I get wet. We'll punch ourselves in the face, bleed out our nose, and get on an album cover.
All right, man.
That's so dumb.
All right, well, it's time to roll for next week. We haven't picked anything other than winner's choice for the winner.
That's right. I probably won't be here next week.
Yes.
I'll be...
The listener should know that you guys are having a baby tomorrow.
That's right.
So should the loser have to watch What to Expect When You're Expecting or something?
Yeah, let's do a baby theme.
Yeah, what's a baby movie? Look Who's Talking To.
Oh, look who else is
talking
now.
Who else is also talking as well.
Alert your eyes. A person is verbalizing.
And that person is a baby.
What's the worst baby movie? We already did Baby Geniuses.
Yeah.
Should we do one of the Look Who's Talking, or should we do...
Baby's Day Out.
Baby's Day... I saw Baby's Day Out when I was a kid, but I do not remember it.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
That's like the low point of John Hughes.
Let's see what happens when I Google worst baby movie. Worst baby...
movie.
Trainspotting.
Okay, well, we searched through the list, and I think we're going to have to go with Baby's Day Out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad baby movies out there, but only so many. I feel like we can't do Baby Geniuses 2 yet. Someday.
Because we can't find it yet.
Yeah, it's too hard to find. Baby's Day Out, John Hughes scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This time it's a baby out there. Causing havoc in the big city.
All right.
All right, Casey, you're rolling for Winner's Choice and Baby's Day Out.
All right,
that's
four.
A four. And then me, right? And that's it?
Yeah.
Because you're out of here next week. Come on, higher than a four. Because
you're having Baby's Day In.
Yeah. That's a seven.
Oh, all right.
Casey
I'm on a big streak.
You're on a bit of a streak.
Yep.
Watching Baby's Day Out.
Very good.
All right, and I'm going to watch whatever the fuck I want, starring Stephen Dorfuck.
Yeah, that's the stipulation. You can watch whatever you want, but it has to have Stephen Dorff in it.
Dorfuck.
Sorry, Dorfuck.
Oh, my God. Well, as we mentioned off the top of the episode, let's talk about some of our best films of the year. We made three lists.
Yeah, our own individual top tens.
And then I realized immediately after making my list that I left things off it that I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Like Mad Max, one of my favorite movies of the year.
Yeah, that's all right. And I haven't seen a couple of things that I'm going to see, some tonight. And over the course of the next little bit, I haven't seen Hateful Eight.
Me either.
Sicario. I haven't seen The Girl and the Dying Girl.
I think that if Sicario and Hateful Eight aren't on our final list, it's only because you haven't seen them.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
But that being said, we still have a fairly comprehensive top 10 based on our individual.
What we've seen up to this point.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Up to this point.
Should we go from the bottom up?
We'll go from the bottom up. Number 10 on our list, Spotlight.
Low because I've never seen it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But probably in my top three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific movie. Just fucking fantastic. That's a movie that could yield more than one supporting actor nod, I would say.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if nobody was nominated because it'll
cancel itself out.
It's so strong in it's like kind of ensemble feel.
Yeah, although Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, boy. Number 9, Sicario, I have not seen yet and probably will jump higher after I see this.
Now, you just recently watched it, right?
I just watched it, yes. Yeah. And it's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
And I watched it again over the break with my family. Loved it again.
Yeah.
So good on rewatching.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's shot by Roger Deakin.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you can tell.
Yeah.
Because there's one.
It says his name at the end?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you can read the words Roger Deakins, then
what he did.
I mean, yeah, then you totally know.
Don't pay attention to those funny little acronym little letters beside his name. It's not his name.
It's not Deakins-ask.
Yeah, Deakin-ask.
There's a certain shot where that's just lit by the headlights of two cars that is insanely beautiful.
Yeah.
Great. I'll be watching that later this evening, I believe.
Oh, my goodness. Do yourself a fucking favor.
It's so good.
Another one that I didn't see, which I imagine would bump it up on the list.
Bump it.
Number 8,
Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Yes. Bring the Kleenex. You're going to be crying.
Yeah, have fun crying, jerk.
Yeah. Although that's a movie that got a really divisive reaction.
Don't understand why.
I feel like there are, I think because it is a very quirky movie and it has that kind of tone that somebody could just look at that and say, no.
Yeah, but it doesn't play as, it starts out seeming like a quirky movie, but it comes by everything honestly. And it also has little episodes in it.
Yeah.
It's got little episodes of things that happen that are seemingly inconsequential and maybe ultimately are to the plot.
Yeah.
But they further the characters and at no point feel
it's
out
great.
Of place or anything. Yeah. Man. So
it was just
great.
Weird. Yeah. Like it went to film festivals and people really had a reaction, and then when it came out, I feel like there was this, like, all these people saw it were like, no, you're all wrong about it. And so then it only got like 60 or something on, like, it got very divisive. So but I really want to know what you think, because it's
I
loved it.
Can't wait to see it. Can't wait. Coming in at 7, which I think would have been higher if Dan Gorman had remembered to put it on his list. It was my number 1, Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
Wasn't on my list at all.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know why I didn't put it on my list.
It's like it's number 11.
Yeah,
it's great. No, there was 10 other better movies.
There's a few I would have taken 71 off my list and put Mad Max, even though I loved 71.
71 was great. That was in my top 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, 71, very good movie. Mad Max Fury Road, though, that was I had,
it's on the
I
list.
Think
I'm
that
happy.
Had to be my number one on the year. I just it just really hung out with me for a long time. Just the accomplishment of it visually and what it did for a lot of
it's spectacular.
You know, tropes in film. I was really just so happy with it. Couldn't have been happier, in fact. Which will take us then into 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Number 6 on the year, Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Yeah, it wasn't on my list,
no,
but
I
did love it.
On,
see, my list, I sort of did so arbitrarily that unfortunately my number 1, which is a clear number 1 for me, didn't get on the list. But Star Wars, I just, again, arbitrarily put it somewhere. I mean, the only reason it's not higher, because it was like a very singular event.
Yeah, it's not a normal movie.
It's not just going to see a movie.
Yeah. Like, I think I was saying before we started recording, I don't think I had more fun at the movies all year.
Yeah.
And I've seen it twice in theater, and I can't wait to see it again. So, it was like, this kind of thing. When I make a list of my top 10 or whatever on a year, the cinematography, message of whatever. Like, what am I going to watch again?
Yeah,
you know what did I think about all year? When was I the most entertained by something? Mm-hmm. And Star Wars entertained the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
I put it at, I don't know, like maybe number 3 on my list, because I'm like, I can't put it at number 1, even though I don't think I enjoyed anything like just on a visceral visual level as much as this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know I can't judge it properly as a movie, because it's not movies, it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
And also, I'm a crazy person when it comes to this shit.
And yet at the same time, Star Wars is the movies for me. Like it's like the definitive at the movies experience.
Yeah, this is
experience.
What sent me down the path, you know? Yeah. This was
And I'm not a Star Wars guy, and when we were in the movie theater and the lights went down and the 25 minutes later, the commercials went away.
Yeah.
And then the movie started and the scroll happened. Yeah. Like, I was giddy.
Yeah,
and I'm not. I don't have that moment with Star Wars. But even I was like, "This is special."
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's anything as good as sitting in the theater and waiting for the big first horn blast.
Yeah.
Right after you get, you know,
when it goes, you see Lucasfilm and everything, and then it goes dark, and then fucking Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's
the
best.
I jumped.
So great.
Yeah.
All right, and then into our top 5. Coming in at number 5 is Room.
Yeah, still haven't seen it.
Yeah,
boy, is
I need
that a
to.
Wonderful,
really
movie.
Great.
Adored it. Yeah. I don't think there's any real competition for Brie Larson.
I think absolutely. I think that's the only movie I saw twice in the theater.
Yeah.
But that's just because Myers really wanted to see.
So good. Number 4, Paddington.
Yeah, I'm glad that's in the top 5.
Me too.
Yeah. That actually didn't make my 10, but you guys had it up high. So
yeah.
It's on my 15, but I just couldn't quite nudge it in there.
Yeah.
You know, what a terrific movie, though. We've talked about it quite a bit on the show, actually, because it's just probably if you're a grown up and you don't have kids, you're like, why would I watch this movie?
Yeah.
Well, because it's a fucking delight. Yeah. Have a heart.
if you're not a grown bastard. Up and you have kids like me, it's a fucking home run.
What a wonderful movie. So great. Number three, Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, super high. I still haven't seen it.
This is a nice companion piece to Paddington.
Paddington.
Watch Paddington and then watch this in the same night. Yeah. And
I'm thankful that I haven't been spoiled with the whatever the brutal thing everyone says is awful.
Yeah. Everybody.
I haven't been spoiled yet, but I'm about to press play on it, but every time it's like getting late and I know it's like about 2.5 hours, I'm like, I need to give this movie the proper sit down.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Just terrific. I'm looking forward to a second viewing. Coming in at number two, this is a movie I did not talk about in the Itty Bitty Tidbit Committee because I thought I'd talk about it here, but I finally just saw it, and it was super high on my list and yours too, Dan Gorman, Diary of a Teenage Girl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That.
I tried, guys. I tried to watch it.
Yeah, you watched the porn instead.
I didn't watch the porn.
Instead, you watched the whole porn instead. If anyone doesn't know what we're referring to, Casey tried to watch Diary of a Teenage Girl, but
downloaded a copy of it, and it was called Diary of a Teenage Girl, but then when I when I got the file, it was split up into scenes. That should tell you something, I guess.
Yeah, so what, you just watched it recently?
Yeah, a couple minutes ago. And that is a staggeringly good film.
It's so good, and it's such a, like... To see a movie made about such a hard-to-make-a-movie-about topic,
absolutely.
Like a young girl struggling with her sexuality and misplacing it on an adult.
Yeah.
And treating that like a real thing that happens.
Yeah.
And not being like, what a disgusting, everybody is gross. And just making a movie about like that kind of like deadly serious coming of age and actually giving everybody like, yeah, it's just so good.
Yeah, I liked virtually everything about it.
Yeah.
The performances, the music chosen for the film.
Oh, yeah.
The direction.
Killer soundtrack.
Oh, man, so good. That's a... Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
And please see that movie.
I'll keep trying.
And she's
but
amazing.
I'm just going to keep downloading porn.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She's so good in it.
Oh, man.
Like, she is surprisingly old in comparison to the character, but you... Like,
well, yeah, because she's in like
she
her
looks
20s.
So
yeah,
young.
Yeah, yeah, she looks crazy young.
And her performance is just so good.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
something
is
else.
Mom.
Kristen Wiig
and Skarsgård. Yeah.
Skarsgård is fantastic.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a treat! What a fucking delight of a movie. And then our number one, based on our scoring system, Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. That was not even on my list at all.
Yeah. It was my number one.
Yeah.
It would have been on my probably top 12.
Yeah.
It probably would have been just above Mad Max.
I just caught this. Athena was watching it last night, I guess. And so I caught the second half of it.
Yeah.
Which just solidified it being high on my list, you know, catching the second half of that movie again. Good Lord. What a good movie. What a good fucking movie.
And so a good. Beautifully shot movie.
Beautiful, yeah. The performances are amazing.
Yeah.
There is, and it just, the tension that is building in that movie, because there's just so much manipulation happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, boy, what a piece of work.
Totally.
What a fucking piece of work.
I feel like there's a theme, like if I'm to think of these movies, and they're all so different, but like, I feel like what the movies we're talking about are a list of super cinematic movies. Like, we've mentioned a couple of these movies that are gorgeous. Sicario, Ex Machina, even Paddington. These are all movies that are fucking cinema.
Yeah.
Like, those are, and even Star Wars. Like, those are all movies that you look at and they're doing something that you can't do except in movies. But I mean, one of them is a children's film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Diary of a Teenage Girl is so visual, and they do the kind of like, here's some animation, and they do the like soundtrack stuff. It's just fucking cinema, man.
Yeah.
And there's a couple movies on this list that I'd be like, just fucking cinema, man. That's what makes this good, man.
It was,
but they're
was,
so different.
Yeah. It was. It's a fucking beautiful year for movies.
Yeah, yeah, it was quite good.
And also, I think a common theme here, because another movie that almost could have made my list was Most Violent Year.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of this serves to show that fucking Oscar Isaac is dope as fuck.
Yeah.
Good run.
That guy is an insanely good actor.
I love
and can
that
do
movie.
So many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's one of those movies where just because it was so early in the year, and was it this year or last year, it's on my like long list, but I felt like I shouldn't put it on my top 10 kind of thing.
Because
it was like, well, I don't know. Yeah. I did the same thing with, I guess, technically Babadook came out in Canada this year, but I was like, but that the
but
hype
we,
on
and,
that
and
is
we
gone.
Talked about it last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie for me that that would have made the list if I had a fucking done it right and was is my favorite movie of the year was Anomalisa.
Yeah.
It's
I still haven't seen that. That's got to get watched as well.
It is. Did you see it?
No, not yet. I really want to.
Yeah.
It will tell you something about yourself.
Yeah.
It will tell you something. It's so different than from Synecdoche, New York.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it shares DNA with you know, all of Charlie Kaufman's things, obviously. Yeah. But it's just a very simple story. I don't know what to say about it other than it just shows you how aging... how damaging getting older is and who you thought and not I don't know I don't have clear thoughts on it because I've only seen it once and I need to see it 1,000 more times. All I can say there are interesting little facts about it, like it was produced by Dino Stamatopoulos and Dan Harmon was also a producer on it.
Nice.
Interesting little things like that, but it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful and so heartbreaking, and to watch it, it's just everything that's happening is feels so unavoidable, and so it's heartbreaking in that respect too. Yeah, just see that movie.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will probably circle back on this list. Maybe we'll revise as we see a few more. But we wanted to get something out there because it's January.
Yeah.
That's where we're at now with our top 10.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at, babe.
That's where I live, y'all.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the episode.
Okay.
Just a reminder, please rate and review us on iTunes. Email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Tell us your favorite movie of the year. What did we leave off our top 10? What are we crazy about for getting on our top 10? And more. Was there anything else on your top tens that didn't make our final that you wanted to mention? I put Tangerine on mine.
Let me see my top ten.
Let me find your lists for you. There's Casey's. There's mine.
I know Inside Out didn't make the final, but
Inside
that was
Out
on my
was,
10.
Oh, man, I just took it off right at the last second, but it was, there you go.
Yeah.
What else? What We Do in the Shadows. We all had on our list that didn't make it.
Mine was at
low.
The low,
It Follows made my list as well.
Wait, I thought one got the most.
One got 10 points, 10 got one. So if we all put it, What We Do at the Shadows at 10, it only got 3 points.
Yeah,
so
I had
it's
it
not
at
gonna
one.
Get, yeah.
But again, my list was entirely arbitrary.
Let me see your list. So this is like one, right? So it gets 10 points. Or did you just like do a countdown going this way?
Yeah, countdown going that way. Because that's number 10.
No, this is number one at the top.
But it says 10 beside it.
Yeah, that means like the points.
It doesn't matter. Again, it's such an arbitrary. I wrote down 10 movies that I remembered loving.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, was there, I don't know. We said 71 was good. I said Tangerine and Inside Out.
Yeah, 71 was on my short
list. Those weren't on the full list.
Something else. Where is my stupid list?
Casey, you mentioned Anomalisa.
Yeah, definitely did.
Cool.
I will give a little extra credit to The Martian if I had 15.
Yeah, that was on that missed mine too.
What a great movie.
I didn't want to put it on my top 10 or maybe even top 15 for some reason, and I don't know why, but it kept getting bounced. Like I kept going like, no, I won't put it on there, even though I had such an amazing time at the movies watching it.
And I know I'll watch that again. Like that, there was enough. Yeah, that's a very full movie.
Yeah.
Very full.
Yeah.
Good year, man. It was a really fucking good year.
What a fucking year for movies. Yeah. Jesus.
And there's still, like, I know that there's still, like, four or five movies I haven't seen that I'm going to love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep
that's
wanting
that's
to.
That's exciting.
I keep wanting to see 71, but.
Do it.
Oh, yeah, because you guys keep talking about
it. Yeah, it's on my 15.
Yeah,
what a terrific
And this
movie.
Is a good year for, like, your 15 being.
Yeah.
Being, like, oh, I wish 15 was the number 10.
Yeah,
because
sure.
Like it's not like stretching to find 15 movies this year.
Yeah,
totally.
And that movie was early on.
Yeah,
and it really hung out with me all year. I was definitely, it's still.
But for some
fresh.
Reason, I seem to remember you guys talking about it when you went and saw it, and I remember you guys going like, "It's really good," but I feel like there was a but for some reason.
No.
Maybe while you guys were talking about it, I was thinking of my butt.
You were thinking about that Butts Wiggling
song? I was saying, like...
Probably.
I remember
I was
saying
Big Fat Funk About
A. Big Fat Funk About A. Spin Doctors. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
If you remember, email us and tell us what we were talking about.
Yeah.
But also let us know.
You have a weirdly encyclopedic memory of what
and
we've
your
talked
butts
about.
Are wiggling.
Send us your opinion and a picture of your butt.
Is that a see you next Wednesday Spidey sense? My butt's a wiggling.
I can't remember what they said. Let me wiggle my butt a little bit.
My butt's a wiggling.
Jar it loose.
My butt's wiggling. Dan's going to say something's going to get away from him. Dan's going to pronounce something wrong. I got to see you next Wednesday butt tingling feeling.
People are just talking about how they're embarrassed on the subway listening to us because they're laughing so hard. Also because their butt keeps wiggling.
Yeah. Rate and review us on iTunes. Email us at info@modernspear.com. Tell us what you liked this year, what you hated, what we were right, what we were wrong about, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC.
Yeah.
And as always, we will see you next Wednesday.
Steven Dorff.
Fuck.
That's a thanks for your help.
This has been a presentation of the Modern Superior Media Network.
How come you're starting, like, deep?
Like, 8 seconds deep?
Yeah.
Yeah, then I can put the music there.
Yo, you 8 seconds deep.
What? Shut up.